Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You are compelled to listen.
Oh, no, don't start with that. See, you think of the devil's tongue and you think it's a joke, but
you
it's real.
You are compelled.
So here would be a channel about this.
If you will listen, you will listen.
Yes, will you just cut it out and talk normal?
You will listen to
me. Please, figure what I'm talking
every chance you get. Every minute. You will keep your radio and you will turn the volume up even higher.
You think it's a big joke, but you're tearing down the foundations of our nation.
The entire foundation around our ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. That's right. I am the host that boasts to have the most information for you. I am the one and only V. Yes, right here on RBN. From the group that's called TLB. Sponsored by TLBtalk.com. Yes, that's right. Freedom of Speech Social Network. You're not on it? Well, hell, you better get on it. Call yourself a patriot. Yeah. Feeling good today. All right, let's hop into the show. Yes. Sorry for the technical difficulties yesterday. You know, when you have 1,000 cords to deal with and you step on the mic cord and it strips from its plug, well, it's not what she can do. The laptop is 1,000,000 miles away on another shelf. just set up with different computers and whatnot, most of which are offline computers. You guys know this sort of stuff because I'm constantly being hacked by the feds. Which, you know, actually, that's the topic of today. Feds and the hacking. Wow. A subject that I should be on more often. I mean, it's really the whole point of the show, to show the corruption of these feds. Since I was formerly a targeted individual. It's kind of hard to say formerly, because there's still things that they try to do to manipulate. Try to manipulate me. But it's so weak. It's kind of one of those things, you know, do you bite your nose to spite your face? I think is that how the saying goes? You know, they want to keep screwing at me, thinking that there's never going to be any consequence to them, until lo and behold, I came up with a game plan that got them to get the hell off of me, for the most part. There's still, like I said, little minor things. If I could put a percentage to it, they've dialed it down to about 5% when it was a full 100% before. They've dialed it down. But that's only because, you know, these idiots can't accept defeat. You know, it's all or nothing sort of a deal with them. They won't accept any of these targeted psyopses to be anything less than successful. However, I'm one of a handful, if not the only, targeted individual has squeezed the tiny little testicles of these feds hard enough for them to back off with the V2K, to back off with the hacking of my computers, to back off with a lot of stuff, tampering in my interpersonal relationships. I've squeezed those little nuts hard enough. I got them on their tippy toes. But they still won't leave the room. That's what I'm working on next. So, let's go into this first clip here. I want to talk about the hacking.
This is a covert CIA website. It's disguised to look like some random Iranian sports blog. When translated, you can see it has some commentary on Iranian football, some links, and even some ads at the bottom. But it's all a decoy. This is actually one of the many covert websites that the CIA was using for years to communicate with undercover informants living in countries like Iran and China. See this text box here? Disguised to look like some search box? Start typing and you'll quickly realize something is off. It's actually a password prompt. Get the password correct and a Java applet will launch. Dated, yes, but this website is from 2011, so I suppose we can cut the CIA some slack. Same goes for their ancient web design. A correct password will return this text box, where an informant can communicate with their CIA handler. Now, when you start hearing about the top secret ways CIA agents communicate with their confidential informants on YouTube, there has to be a pretty bad reason for it. In this case, that reason is that the CIA's web development practices were so awful that they resulted in whole networks of spies being discovered by Iran and China, which led to many of them being executed. We've seen some of the more obvious bad decisions already. A search box, which is obviously a password prompt, is very sus. The fact it's on the homepage also makes it stand out more. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. What made this such a disaster is that until 2013, the CIA was operating hundreds of these websites, each with a different theme. One of them is a Bob Marley fan page, another is a nature photography site, and this one is a fitness blog. But they all had one thing in common, a password prompt disguised as a search box and a hidden communication field. But it gets worse. Sequential blocks of IP addresses were used to host these sites, and many of them were hosted on the same servers. No doubt this made life easy for the CIA, copy-pasting code and hosting the site centrally. But the same can't be said for those informants. If an adversary found out about just one of these websites, it would be easy for them to uncover the rest. And that's exactly what happened. Former US intelligence officials said that the Iranians cultivated a double agent who led them to this secret CIA communication system. From there, in about 2011, everything unraveled. The Iranians used Google to uncover the rest of the websites, apparently just Google dorking to find sites based on reused code. After making a list of websites, finding the undercover informants that were using them was also easy. Each informant had a website made specifically for them, which no one else used, so I imagine identifying the informants was as easy as just logging DNS requests. Following which, Iran executed some of the CIA informants and imprisoned others, and after tipping off China, their authorities rounded up and executed around 30 agents working for the US. If you try to visit the first website we looked at, IranianGoals.com, you'll find it's been re-registered and now redirects to the Reuters article which blew the lid on this a couple of days ago. But with the help of the Wayback Machine, the original site lives on. Next up, what you're looking at here is the next generation of ATM card skimmers.
Okay. So, yeah. So the thing about the CIA, they're full of a bunch of meatheads. You got contractors, you got people from the military, and then you got the scientists, all right? This is why we have a cyber command. This is why we have an NSA. Because, you know, I think they're better off training domestic terrorists for false flag events. That's all they seem to be good for these days. And being the central hub for the deep state. Trying to control this and that, trying to keep people poor, trying to eliminate the middle class, keeping the rich even richer, keeping New World Order people aligned and terrorizing other nations. Global terrorists. That's what they're good at. I think they should just stick with that kind of stuff. But, you know, because of their major F-ups, being the F-heads that they are, that's the reason why the FBI, you know, started doing this whole InfraGuard thing. Now, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but we had Muda. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of Mudahara. His YouTube channel is Some Ordinary Gamers. He's sort of a tech head, and he likes to dabble in anything computer, meaning anything from video games to internet conspiracies, things like that. He covers a wide range of things, and I often get some of my research from him. And, yeah, so I want to talk about the FBI who got hacked. They just got hacked. I want you to listen to this information, and then I'm going to tell you why it's important. Go ahead, please.
Hello, guys and gals. Me, Mudahara. You know, by the title of this video, I'm excited. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the FBI got hacked. The glowies in this case. Now, you might be like, whoa, this is some pretty big information, Muda. Is something crazy going on? Well, luckily, in this case, when the FBI gets hacked, we're talking about, you know, the skin flake under their toe. You know, the thank God, somewhat of the unrelated to the massive things that they have going on division, okay? That pretty much ended up getting hacked. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do I mean by that? Well, you should probably know something known as the InfraGuard system, okay? So FBI's InfraGuard is kind of like a social media network for the really big and powerful in the country. It's kind of like an intelligence sharing system. In fact, we'll read it right here. InfraGuard is a partnership between the FBI and members of the private sector for the protection of U.S. critical infrastructure. Through seamless collaboration, InfraGuard connects owners and operators within critical infrastructure. So people are working in parts of the country that if you, you know, if they were to go down, bad things could happen. To provide education, information sharing, networking, workshops on emerging technologies and threats. Ooh, not good when this ends up getting hacked, huh? So their membership includes business executives, entrepreneurs, lawyers, security personnel, military and government officials, IT professionals, academia, and state and local law enforcement. Yeah, all these big name, all these high profile people working together. Now, of course, even got a juicy brochure for you, all right? Hopefully to talk about their cybersecurity practices. If not, we'll look into them right now. Actually, wait, they even tell you, critical infrastructure sectors. So you got chemical, commercial facilities, communications, critical manufacturing, dams, defense industrial bases, energy, financial services, food and agriculture, nuclear reactors. Yeah, they're working with the people that that they absolutely have to be. So to understand just what happened with the FBI InfraGuard system, it was hacked, and an entire database got breached out. Now, of course, I looked into it, and this is a 2022 Xmas edition. All right, God bless. Now, of course, on the hacker forum, a username by the term of USDOD, given the God designation, ended up releasing a bit of this for sale. All right, and the sale price was somewhere around the time of $50,000. Now, you may be like, but Muda, that's not really a whole lot of money for that kind of information. And you are right, because in reality, some of the things were actually missing from this entire database, too. And I never got real looks into it, but effectively what was actually missing were things known as the email addresses in some cases, social security numbers, and of course, date of births were missing from some entries. Which, obviously, those are the real juicy things that you want. Those are the real identifiers. So, of course, a price was put up by $50,000 and has since then been taken away. Because according to God, or sorry, USDOD, I would like to let you know that this data is no longer be posted for sale and won't be used in the future. I realize that selling it would cause more harm to myself than it would benefit me financially. The data will not be sold or shared in public. And I've emailed Troy Hunt to add all emails to HIBP so that all InfraGuard members can search and see if they were affected. HIBP is Have I Been Pwned, which is a website you can use, drop your email into it, and it'll let you know if you've been part of any breach. Of course, you know, I guarantee you USDOD looked outside their window and they were like, oh, that's a bright red light. Why is it aiming towards my head? Yeah, that's what they were doing. Because let me tell you something right now. If you think hacking computers is illegal, hacking the FBI is very, very illegal. So, of course, the question has to be asked is, well, how did this happen? Was it some crazy, you know, hack of the century that happened with the FBI? I mean, surely, Muda, they got to have some protections. And you would be wrong, because the Federal Bureau of Investigation is not, you know, some crazy big entity. It's not like some crazy entity, right? Like, obviously, it's a big group within the U.S., but even big groups are prone to making human mistakes every once in a while. So, of course, the way that it worked and the way that I've read into it, the way that I've seen and from actual accounts of the person hacking, it seems as though what had happened was they had faked actual information to create an account on the website. So basically they faked a financial CEO's information and they applied for an account. Now, because InfraGuard had some really, really bad verification metrics, they really didn't put a whole lot of effort into actually verifying if this financial CEO was the real person. Like, could you imagine all of a sudden I went up to a website and said, hey, I'm Elon Musk, okay? Obviously, any website should go through a verification process to make sure that person is Elon Musk. They should have verifiable identification that only they would possess. Or maybe they would get an email an actual physical mail to their actual physical address that only they or a few people that they trust can access. There's a lot of ways to verify, and InfraGuard didn't do a whole heck of a lot of them. So at that point, once they sent out their actual registration, they got their approval within less than a month. And once they had that, they were inside the system. So what had happened was they had actually used a Python script to start querying the various InfraGuard APIs. And once they had done that, they had actually extracted somewhere north of 85,000 contact informations in that entire process. And of course, the CEO that they actually faked, you know, the information they used, was never contacted by the FBI prior to that breach, okay? So the FBI did literally nothing to verify if this person was even legitimately in their system. And so, of course, the actual exclusive InfraGuard portal in this case, which we all thought was really, really exclusive and secure, was so relaxed in its verification measures up until today, because I guarantee you, after what just happened, they are checking every single person. They were just giving this information out like candy. In the only surviving sort of email that I've seen in this entire situation, one thing that we can look at when it comes to API requests, you can see right here, is that they've got first names, they've got sector name lists, sector names, primary sectors, information, so basically where they're at. And of course, I have to blur a fair bit of this out, but then you've got certain things like your personal email addresses, cell phone, home zip, business zip, you get the point, okay? So obviously, they're digging out information, and they're giving out samples of what to expect from some of these employees at work, again, in critical sectors. Now, looking through some of the data over here, it's not entirely the most earth-shattering things to ever see. Effectively, what I've understood and basically have heard from the stolen database, which unfortunately I couldn't confirm because all of it was taken down because of its danger, you know. But what had happened was, like, the database just consisted of your names, where you were affiliated to, and, of course, the contact information. So it wasn't as if, like, all of it was really useful information. I think somewhere around, like, 47,000 records here actually included things like unique email addresses. And of course, like I said in the beginning, there wasn't really anything in the way of like social security numbers and date of births, although fields actually ended up existing too. What had actually happened in this entire situation was that they actually had access to the InfraGuard members. And of course, they were even like verified into it to begin with. And of course, even the person who hacked it kind of hoped that they could send like messages via direct messages to other people in the InfraGuard system. So whether they be CEOs or other big wigs in the US, of course, the account didn't last long, especially after all of this. So again, I think the biggest thing to question out of it is how this happened to begin with, because ladies and gentlemen, the entire hack was done through a rather hilarious method, okay? The API actual, like, the fact that he actually went through with a Python script and attacked the API directly makes you kind of wonder. So of course, at the end of the day, the FBI basically said, this is an ongoing situation, and we are not able to provide any additional information at this time. I think the thing to question is how this actually ended up happening and just why. You would think with such a critical and exclusive system that they would have a bit more protections offered to it. But yes, even the FBI is capable of making some severe lapses in judgment. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me, Mudahar. And you know what? I'm glad I'm not the person that has all this data sitting onto them. Because I like this thing called living. And if it's one thing I know about the FBI, they'll shut down anybody that gets in their way. And ain't no way I'm getting in front of the glowy path. Ladies and gentlemen, this is me, Mudahar, and if you like what you saw, please like, comment, and subscribe.
All right, so, yeah, well, I know Mudahar would definitely not like to be in their path. Especially, I mean, Mudahar, he's done some research. He has an entire web series on YouTube about deep diving the darknet. And he's actually hit, he doesn't know it, but he's hit some really highly classified information that I can verify. And it's beyond him. He doesn't believe any of it, but that's his choice. You know, everyone can have their opinions on things, especially things they've not experienced. But I can tell you that I have experienced some of this classified psyops in these black op scenarios. But anyhow, yes, that, and not wanting to have that red laser dot on you. I mean, that, we live in a country now, United States, supposed to be land free, land just, land of due process. Things like that. But we have figured out just how corrupt. I mean, we know the CIA is nothing but a terrorist organization, state funded. We've written them off a long time ago. The assassination arm of the government. Yeah, but here we have the FBI, corrupt as all hell, and it's gaining a level of infamy that the CIA is has already gained. Simple fact that someone can be scared of the FBI. I mean, I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of anybody. I've got these law enforcement posers by their short hairs. You know, Johnny Law, you can't fight with the long arm of the law. No. Yeah. My arms are long enough to box with God. And they had quickly found that out. So I got them by the short hairs. I'm not afraid to talk about what it is that they're doing. They can come and kill me if they want to, but they'll find out I'm not an easy target. Not with my military training, not with my martial arts training, not with my football training. I think so fast, my reflexes. Being a combat specialist is one thing, but I freak out people. I especially freak out my little woman here, because I will literally catch flies in midair. I've done it right in front of her. Catch flies midair, just crush them. I've caught 3 flies in a row, bare hands. So you don't think my knife, my kitchen knife, won't catch you in the spaces between the plates and your body armor? You wearing that against me, it only serves to slow you down. It's a death sentence. But anyways, I digress. These feds. We want to talk about InfraGuard. InfraGuard. You guys have heard me talk about InfraGuard, but I haven't really gotten too deep into it. Now, I know you people understand the whole idea behind Neighborhood Watch. I remember seeing commercials about Neighborhood Watch when I was a very small kid. You know, these signs, you know, Neighborhood Watch, that means there's a coalition of people in your neighborhood that's watching out for crime that'll report you at the drop of a dime. Thing is, it's just really propaganda. Very few neighborhoods actually did have Neighborhood Watches. The signs were just put there just to scare you, which is fine. No problem with that. But then again, you have these associations, homeowners associations. You know, these people with their power, they think they're on a level of being COPs, Citizens on Patrol. You know, you think that there was a Neighborhood Watch Association where they have meetings and things like that. You know, as a matter of fact, if you have been in one of those groups, please call the show. Please call and talk to me. All right? I want to discuss your role in it. But as far as I understand, those existed too far in between. Neighborhood Watch Associations. I've never met. I mean, if you're part of one of those things, you know who your block captain is. If you're a block captain, please call the show. But again, I think those are too far in between and basically used for propaganda. But we're getting more into the subject when we come back from commercial break. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Bowling is big because the hustle is hard. The grind is rather huge, so the jealousy is quite large. With credit cards and
cash. Sir, why did the FBI establish the InfoGuard program, and what was the organization's initial goal?
Well, it was established back in 1996 in our Cleveland office. Initially, it was established to address issues relating to cybercrime and to establish a network of companies who were concerned about cyber issues. And of course, since then, it has grown. We now have 11,000 members in InfraGuard, and there are 84 separate InfraGuard chapters around the United States. And it's gone, it has expanded beyond just the cyber issues as well. Agriculture, chemical industry, and it was established so that we had ways of connecting with private industry.
So something great came out of Cleveland.
Something great came out of Cleveland.
Now, how does it
it's not the first great thing came out of
right.
Cleveland, I might add.
One of a long list. Now, how does the Bureau feel about the role InfraGuard has played to date in protecting the nation's critical infrastructure?
There are a number of examples one could give where InfraGuard has a member has alerted us to a crime that's taken place. It may be a cyber crime, maybe another crime. There are any number of instances where we've turned to InfraGuard members for expertise in the cyber arena or otherwise. It is a partnership, and it's a partnership between private industry and the FBI. And on the one hand, InfraGuard members have done a terrific job in coming together with us and providing us information that we need to solve crimes. And on the other hand, they provide expertise to us that we may not have in the FBI, which would also help us solve crimes, but in many instances may help us to prevent crimes.
You get some very good examples of that during your speech today. Yeah. Now, how has InfraGuard's mission evolved since it started 9 years ago?
Well, it was looking at the cyber infrastructure at the outset, and now it has expanded beyond just cyber and goes to a number of areas where our infrastructure is vulnerable. We also have Department of Homeland Security that has responsibility for these vulnerabilities, so we work very closely with the Department of Homeland Security to utilize the knowledge and expertise of InfraGuard members to protect the vulnerabilities that we see in our various networks and infrastructure capabilities in the United States.
Now, what role does the FBI believe InfraGuard will play in the future? We know where we've seen the last 9 years. What's down the road for you?
It's going to grow. Each of us in the Bureau, I think, recognizes that to prevent terrorist attacks, to prevent crime, as well as solving those crimes that unfortunately do take place, we need not just the FBI but other agencies to work together with us. But most particularly, we need private industry with its expertise, its access to capabilities that we don't have, to work closely with us in order to prevent terrorist attacks and to solve the more intricate crimes that we see in this modern world.
That kind of leads to the next question. Does InfraGuard only work with the FBI? There's a strong FBI presence here today. Obviously, you and many members.
We established InfraGuard, but InfraGuard works with Department of Homeland Security, Secret Service, a number of the other agencies who are also responsible for various aspects of protecting the infrastructure, whether it be cyber, agriculture, or chemical, or energy, and the like. And so, while we've established it and maintain InfraGuard, InfraGuard is a capability that is available and is to be used, will be used by all of those agencies who are responsible for protecting the United States infrastructure.
Now, how can folks who see this or just the general public learn more about InfraGuard and working with the FBI to protect critical infrastructure?
Well, the easiest way is to go online. I would venture to say of the 11,000 InfraGuard members, each of those 11,000 is computer literate. You don't necessarily have to be tremendously computer literate, but you can get information on InfraGuard by going on, and it's www.infraguard.net. Again, www.infraguard.net. And you go online, and you'll be able to sign up and find out more about InfraGuard.
You spend a lot of time online, by the way? There's nothing
wrong with you. I do a fair amount of time.
Okay.
I do a fair amount of time, yes.
Are you a Google or Yahoo guy?
I'm a Google.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, because I don't want to.
Now, how does the FBI plan to make use of the InfraGuard program among the different divisions within the Bureau?
Our cyber division is responsible for maintaining the chapters, the organization, liaisoning with the organization hierarchy. And so they're responsible for the program overall. But to the extent that the program is beneficial, whether it be in our criminal arena or counterterrorism, for instance, the information cuts across our various divisions, cuts across our various responsibilities. So while our cyber division was responsible originally for establishing it, it's grown so far beyond that the Bureau as a whole is knowledgeable and maintains the contacts with InfraGuard members.
Anything else you'd like to add?
No, it's a great program. I encourage people to sign up and participate. Not only are you doing something for your country, but you're learning a great deal about other members as well as the FBI. It's an opportunity to learn a lot about what we do and how we work. So I encourage people to go online and sign up.
You've got it. Excellent job.
Thank you.
Okay. So this thing is so multifaceted. InfraGuard. Sort of like COPs. What's a COP? A citizen on patrol. It's like when the police department has snitches, has informants. They're not deputized. These snitches, these informants will get little kickbacks. You know, maybe a traffic ticket will disappear. Maybe you'll be let go on a speeding offense. Maybe they'll give you some some gift cards for a store. You know, all the kickbacks would be non-traceable. It's not funded by cash. I've done an expose on this, and others have done it, in which I recovered on this sort of thing. So what are we talking about here? Well, how many of you guys have ever gotten a... Okay, sorry about that. How many of you guys have ever gotten an email saying, hey, join the Illuminati? You want to be a part of the Illuminati? I'm pretty sure a large portion of you have. Maybe some of you. I know I used to get the email a lot. Hey, join the Illuminati. And that's basically what this is. The Illumitards. Okay, just to give you an example. You have Facebook, Zuckerberg. He's part of InfoGuard. You have Jeff Bezos. He's part of InfoGuard. Mind you, I'm not supposed to know this stuff, but I do. Don't ask me how. You have PayPal. PayPal is part of InfoGuard. You have multi-nexus level companies who are a part of InfoGuard. You know, I don't know why people think it's such a surprise that Facebook's security is all FBI feds. Why Twitter had FBI operatives in it. Why PayPal is forcing a $2,500 fine on anybody promoting conspiracy theories. Or really promoting the truth. So you have all these things. And it provides a way for these people to harass you, to target you. Since I've been a targeted individual, I have not been able to order a piece of electronics through the mail anywhere I've lived and it come to me intact or working properly. If I want electronics, things like that, I have to go and get it off the shelf. So, I know at times where I needed a job, it just did not matter. If I was overqualified or underqualified, it just didn't matter. Blackballed. It's part of being a targeted individual. Police harassment. I mean, this trickles down because you have so many people in InfoGuard. Targeted individuals left and right. Well, people are getting hacked all the time. Okay? Current computer I'm on, my online computer, because, you know, I'm using my computer to try to grow my business, you know, all my browsers got hacked. None of them will open. With the exception of the portable browsers, which I put on. Portable apps are a godsend, by the way. If you're not using them, you should use them. You should have portable apps that you keep on a thumb drive. You move a copy over to your computer. Do all your browsing. And when you're done with your browsing, you can delete it. Boom, there goes your history and everything. You can keep doing that over and over and over. To remain anonymous. That's why they've not kept me off of the usage of my computer, because I'll use some damn portable apps. The reason why I haven't fixed my computer is because I want to go and get the forensics on how they screwed up my browsers. But anyways, these are things that they do. Comcast, most ISPs are part of InfoGuard. Okay? And I'm going to, just to tie this in together, because this is very important. Very important. Remember how last week I was telling you guys about Andrew Marcus Bing, the Walmart shooter, how he was a targeted individual, okay? There's one article stating that Bing believed that he was being targeted by the government, and how he was paranoid. You know, tape over his phone to cover up the camera and everything. Okay. Now, I found another article on it, which actually backs up my claim here. So here we go with the townhall.com. I'm going to start in the middle of the article because it only talks about the Q shooting above. So it gets right to Bing here. In Virginia, the shooter, Andre Marcus Bing, 31, was a black male who used a 9mm handgun to kill his coworkers. And by the way, he was only half black. But they won't tell you that. Who he alleges abused him, leading him towards Satan to deal with the situation. He cited in a disturbing manifesto, Bing was the night manager at the facility. Night manager. Okay. So here's the manifesto that he apparently wrote, or someone wrote. Okay. It's got quotations around it. The Walmart supervisor who fatally shot six co-workers at a store in Virginia bought the gun just hours before the killing and left a note on his phone accusing colleagues of mocking him, authorities said Friday. Sorry, everyone, but I did not plan this. I promise things just fell in place like I was led by the Satan. Andrew Bing wrote on a note that was left on his phone. The Chesapeake Police Department said Friday. Police said the 9mm handgun used in the Tuesday night shooting was legally purchased that morning and that Bing had no criminal record. They released a copy of the note found on his phone that appeared to redact the names of the specific people he mentioned. It was not clear when the note was written, but in it, Bing claimed he was harassed and said that he was pushed to the brink by a perception his phone was hacked. He wrote, "My only wish would have been to start over from scratch and that my parents would have paid closer attention to my social deficits." Bing died at the scene of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Classic targeted individual scenario. When they were harassing me, they wanted me to kill a bunch of people, then kill myself. They hammered me. Self-execution is to tie up the loose ends so nobody can question him. There's a lot of people, a lot of these shooters that are killing themselves after the shootings. I know in some scenarios, they're being offered, you're going to live a better life scenario. They're being told in their heads, you're going to get your 72 virgins or whatever, some scenario like that. If you go ahead and just kill yourself afterwards, you'll go to heaven, you'll have this, you'll start over. We're the angels. Or this is God talking to you. And they can, when they use that voice to skull technology on you, and you actually believe what you're being told, of course you're going to do whatever the hell you're being told, especially to get that sweet reward at the end. Okay? This is what the feds do. Now, you guys have heard me talk about that, so let me get back to the InfraGuard part of this. You have somebody, and there's the lady, there's another worker there that's suing Walmart for $50 million because Walmart knew of this man's problems. They knew. Report after report, complaint after complaint after complaint was filed against this night manager. Lots and lots of reports. Forget his criminal record, his work history record. You get generally one, two, and boom, you're out. This guy has had numerous reports, which means somebody at the top said, no, this man is unfireable. Keep him where he's at. This is how the InfraGuard supports the false flag shooters, the terrorist scenarios. If this guy was of no interest to anybody and he made these sexual comments, these animal killing comments, he would have been fired that day. It wouldn't have been any paperwork turned in and then deliberation. He would have been let go instantly. Pulled back to the back office by his general manager and let go. I know this stuff. I've been fired for sneezing. So there was somebody on high protecting this man's employment. Because he got sicker and sicker with the stuff that he said to his fellow employees. He got sicker and sicker, more depraved, because he felt like he was invincible. He couldn't be fired. He felt like it. So that means somebody, this is how InfraGuard works. Somebody made sure that he stayed there because the FBI said that they have a plan for him. Or they want to watch him because he might do something terroristic. That might be one thing to say, okay, keep him where he's at. We're investigating him. But what's the point of the investigation when you don't stop the crime? No, he was being culled. He was being groomed, rather. He's being groomed. Feds all on his phone, hacking this stuff. When your phone is hacked and you can't communicate with anybody, that's to single you out, to isolate you. I've been in that scenario. I've been in the scenario where I've been in my apartment, you know, it was years ago, in my apartment, and it's freezing cold, freezing cold. First time it snowed in California since I'd been there. Everything was blanketed, 3 feet of snow. The pilot, the lighter pilot on my heater would not stay on. If gas was being cut off, my apartment. The only reason why I'm alive today is because I had two little kittens. One slept around my throat and one slept on my heart. I'd wake up seeing clouds of my own breath because it was so cold. I couldn't use my phone. My phone was hacked. I couldn't call any utilities people. I lived outside of town, so it's not like I could just walk anywhere and get help. So I know what it's like to have these feds use certain situations to try to kill you or to use other people to do their killing. I know what it's like. So this is Infraguard. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of the tech companies. I mean, that's why a lot of these people, you know, you have so many of these agents that spy. I mean, they're not agents. They're operatives. Your cable man. Okay. Come and fix your cable, or electrician comes in, sees you got a bunch of dirty dishes in the sink, see that you got rowdy kids. Next thing you know, you got CPS at your door. You have, I even had an ex-girlfriend who was I don't know what she called it, but she was obligated to report anything that she saw. Her line of work, she was obligated to report anything that was criminal behavior. A mandatory reporter, something like that. Anyways, there are people like that who think they're doing a duty to society when all they're doing is getting people's kids taken, getting people's lives destroyed by any means necessary or to be used by the shadow hand. It's your InfoGuard. Ladies and gentlemen, the FBI is corrupt as all hell. Just look for the marks. Look for the signs. You'll see it everywhere as you look. You'll see it everywhere. All you got to do is open your third eye. And research these shooters. If you don't believe me, research these shooters. Most of them will say the shooter thought the government was watching him. All right, with that said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. Remember, in the land of surveillance, the man third eye is king. So educate yourself.
Let me ask you something. When my wife's father has introduced me to stogies, what is she gonna say?
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Say hello to my little friend!
Conan, what is best in life? Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
That is good. That is good.
Tune in next time to Red Pill Hardcore. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
True winner.
And I get the green light from Mom.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Sin.